the better high priest. In the next part of his letter to the Hebrews, the apostle calls attention to the qualities of the high priest that is the Son. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, our way of life, our confession of Christian faith. Our high priest is in heaven. He is Jesus, the Son of God. We have not a high priest that cannot. Those two negatives cancel each other. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points. Now this word in there is the Greek preposition which means according to, kata. He was in all points tempted as we are. There is no standard of temptation that he did not suffer through which we go. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy in every time of need. He uses this term, come, many times. In fact, 7 times. Let us observe it as we come to it. At the end of chapter 2, Paul called attention to the incarnation as the prerequisite of high priestly ministry, and that Christ's incarnation made him our elder brother. In chapter 5, he continues, every high priest taken from among men. Jesus Christ had to become a man before he could become a high priest. He had to become a man before he could die as men die. He is ordained on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, that is, he is the approacher, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices. Gifts are offerings that are non-bloody, and sacrifices are those that are bloody. The apostle breaks down these gifts and sacrifices in chapter 10, which we shall see in a moment. But first he is calling attention to the fact that the high priest, because of his humanness, can have compassion on the ignorant, because that he himself is compassed with infirmity. And because of his own infirmity, he ought for the people, so also for himself, to offer sins. For no one man is supplied, and I would like to emphasize that almost every time you read man in the book of Hebrews, this man, that man, the word that the apostle is using would be better translated, this one. The reason why it has been rendered man is because it's in the masculine. This one, this person, this high priest does not take this honor to himself. But he who is called of God, as was Aaron, becomes a high priest. So also Christ. Christ was called. Christ needed to offer for himself and for the sins of the people. So also Christ glorified him not himself. But he that said to him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee, on the resurrection day, said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, from age to age, after the order of Melchizedek. Who, Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. The from is out of. Save him out of death. Not that he might escape death, but to save him out of death's clutch. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So Christ's daily life taught him truth, as men and women are taught today. And being made perfect, this word perfect here is reached his goal, telos, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. He was called of God a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now why does the apostle say in verse 3 that the high priest should offer for the people and for himself? Sometimes it's argued by commentators that Jesus did not need to offer for himself. There is a sense in which that statement is perfectly correct. But there is a sense in which he did offer an offering for himself. The offering that the high priest offered for himself on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16 was to validate his claim to be high priest. He needed to go into the most holy place, and there he needed to survive his exposure to the glory of God in the glorious Shekinah. If the high priest had failed, he couldn't represent his people. It's good to read the statement made by Ellen White in Desire of Ages that describes Christ's ascension to the Father on the resurrection day. After he had talked to Mary. Don't touch me yet, he said to Mary. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Jesus Christ then took to the Father his human body that had died on Calvary with the marks of the nails and the scourge and the thorns and the spear that had been tempted in all points and presented that offering to the Father. And heard from the Father's voice that his sacrifice had been accepted. Then he returned and accepted the homage of his people. Coming back to Hebrews 5 verse 10. This high priest, Jesus Christ, is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In chapter 7, the apostle continues his dealing with the priesthood of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is an untranslated Hebrew word. It means King of Righteousness, or My King is Righteousness. His second name is Melchi Shalom. My King is Peace, or My Kingdom is Peace. That's how he explains it at the end of verse 2 of Hebrews 7. This Melchizedek met Abraham and received from Abraham tithes of all. In verse 3, he is fatherless, one word. Verse 4, motherless. He is fatherless. He is motherless. He is genealogy-less. That's the word that he uses there in Greek. He has no beginning. He has no ending. Verse 6, his descent is not counted. Now, as you read in Ezra, when the children of Israel returned from captivity, the priests tried to line up as true priests, but some were excluded from the priesthood because their names were not in the register. They were without genealogy. They had neither father nor mother recorded there. Now Melchizedek had no father, no mother, no genealogy in the priestly records, yet he was a priest. And the one who is a son has no genealogy, yet he is the priest. And this is his argument in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi, where he could have had a genealogy to priesthood. He came from Judah. He had no father or mother recorded in the annals of the priests. Yet he was made a priest. Now the law said that only those who came through the loins of Levi could be priest. So when Jesus Christ was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, there was need to change the law concerning the priesthood. This Melchizedek is greater than Levi. Because Levi, in the loins of his father Abraham, paid tithes to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed Levi in the loins of Abraham. The lesser is blessed by the greater. Levi, the lesser, was blessed by Melchizedek, the greater. Therefore, Melchizedek is greater than Levi, is greater than Aaron, because he blessed Levi and Aaron and received tithes from Levi and Aaron in the loins of his father Abraham. Therefore, Christ's priesthood after the order of Melchizedek was a greater priesthood than the Aaronic priesthood. And the Aaronic priesthood, verse 18, because of the death of priest after priest after priest, because of the weakness and unprofitableness, couldn't continue. But the priesthood of Melchizedek, of which there is no record that it ended, is supported by an oath. For in verse 21, the Lord swears and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now who is this Melchizedek? Melchizedek is a good man who lived in Salem. He was outside the commonwealth of Israel. He did not belong to the tribe of Abraham. Yet he was a priest of the Most High God. We know nothing of his pedigree. We know nothing of his posterity. Another priest of the Most High is Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Evidently, Job was also a priest and offered sacrifices. And so was Balaam. These mysterious men are part of the purposes of God outside the commonwealth of Israel. They represent the royal priesthood of the anonymous. 2 Peter 2:9, of whom we, you and I, are royal priests. We don't have to have a pedigree, and we certainly don't pass it on to our posterity. They have to make their own choices. But Jesus Christ is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, the order of the anonymous believer, whose kingdom is righteousness and peace. And Melchizedek, through Jesus, following Melchizedek, made a better covenant based on a better oath, part of an unchanging priesthood, able to save to the uttermost, which can also mean evermore. Seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. And our high priest, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, higher than the angels, doesn't need a day by day, day of atonement by day of atonement, high priestly offering. For by his own death, validating his own life, he accomplished the purpose for all mankind. For the law make men high priests which have infirmity, but God's oath, which came since the law, made the Son consecrated our high priest forevermore. Paul's argument comparing Christ's high priestly ministry with the Aaronic priesthood sets him above and apart of any analogy that might occur to the Hebrew mind. And focusing on Melchizedek lifts the kingdom apart from territorial limitations to a kingdom of righteousness and peace.